to the first Battle College podcast, episode one. My name is Mike Paxton, and we have
William Hatton.
Hey, how's it all going?
It's going pretty good. Yeah. This is episode one, which was recorded on 12/18/2012. Today's just going to be a sort of an intro podcast. So normally we'll have guests, we'll have, you know, crazy tips and hints, all sorts of stuff. So, but today's just sort of a get to know us, get to know what's going on kind of thing.
Yeah, William and I both thought this might be a fun thing to do, just to sort of get some more conversation going about IFGS and about LARPing in general, and sort of just give something to talk about over the winter and hopefully into the summer, and just get a little feedback there.
Okay, now here's my question.
Yep.
What the hell is the difference between a Battle College podcast and a Fightcast? Because obviously the Fightcast has been going on now for, what, like 4 weeks?
4 weeks, yes. And if you haven't seen the Fightcast, go to Facebook, go to the IFGS group, and check out the Fightcast.
Definitely. Why do we need a podcast as well? What's the...
I sort of see Fightcasts as an instructional video, sort of where we can show certain techniques or show certain skills, or, you know, talk about something really specific in a very short manner and where it needs a visual component. The podcast, the idea here was I really wanted a place that was just a little bit more conversational, that we could just sort of talk about fighting in general and not be constrained to a time limit. You know, we want to keep this probably around, you know, 20, 30 minutes, but the idea is just to strike up some conversation about both fighting and about IFGS.
So it's not just fighting. It's not going to be like, we're going to describe to you how to do a high cross, and we're going to do it without any sort of video.
Oh, hell no. I don't think I can talk about it. I mean, I think a good example is you know, we have breakfast together most mornings at work, and we sit and we talk about IFGS, and I think what the idea is to try and bring that conversation out to more people and sort of involve them more and get them sort of more engaged in fighting and in IFGS. Normally this next segment, we would usually try and bring on a guest, but this week we don't have a guest. It's just going to be the two of us. So what we're going to do is just talk a little bit about us and sort of our beginnings. So William, why don't you start? Wait, how did you get into LARPing and IFGS in particular?
Sure. Well, I mean, I would say that my parents would say that I have been LARPing since the time I could walk, right?
I think most of us have gone through that.
Yeah, exactly. Putting on capes, you know, walking around with wooden swords, all that kind of stuff. But I didn't actually really get into... I mean, I didn't even play D&D until 1990. At my high school. And then in 1991, we had some new freshmen arrive at my high school who played IFGS. And they were Jeff Loates and Mike Kelly. So... I don't even remember why. I think they just said, like, hey, you should give this a shot. And at that time, the practice park was right near my house. So I headed over there and tried it out, and I thought it was fantastic. So that was back in the days when we used to do two IFGS practices a week. There was one on Monday and one on Thursday, I think.
Wow, I can't even imagine that.
Well, and there were 30 to 40 people there at every practice, right? There were enough people that there would be a full volleyball game going, there would be a full set of, like, encounters going, and there would be just this enormous throng of people just hanging out in the parking lot, just talking. And I can remember I used to bike over there with the military, sort of the rucksack.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
The big sacks. Duffel bags, basically, yeah.
Yeah, just full of swords. You know, desperately trying to stay on my bike and head over there and learn what I could learn. And Jeff Loates was the first person who ever taught me anything about fighting. And
sweet. Jeff was
really
your instructor.
And I just remember being so frustrated in those early days that, like, Mike Kelly was just so fast.
He's still fast.
He is still really fast. I wasn't trying to say he slowed down at all. Jeff had this downsword style that I just could not get through. It felt like that downsword was just this impenetrable shield. And, I can remember just being so frustrated that I was never going to be any good at this game. And I was, you know, I just remember being really frustrated about
Okay,
it.
so just a question. You're known for shield fighting. You do a ton of shield fighting. Were shields
Yes.
really prevalent back then, or was it mostly Florentine? Because I wasn't around during the early days of IFGS. This isn't even the early days of IFGS. This is probably, you know,
No.
the middle age of IFGS. But were shields as prevalent?
They were pretty prevalent. I mean, I guess, sorry, not that prevalent. They were definitely, I mean, they were definitely shields. They were the old disc sled shields. You know, you'd make a get a disc sled, cover it in egg crate foam,
Oh, yes.
and that was a shield. I remember I had this my first shield. I just went crazy. It had a space on the inside where a bow would fit into the curve, and it had a sheath. It had a sheath built into it, so I could put my sword into it, and it had a little pocket for throwing daggers. And I was just such a cute little geek. It was not even funny. But yeah, I mean, there were a fair number of shields out there, but I think you're right. I think there were more Florentiners than there were shields.
And
And
then,
I don't remember staves at all, but I'm sure they
really?
existed. There were more pole arms. But that was back in the days when different weapons did different amounts of damage.
Oh, yes. I
So
remember
long
hearing
swords,
about this, yeah.
yeah, long swords did more damage than short swords, and I think pole arms did the same amount of damage as long weapons. No, it might have been short weapons actually. But yeah, that was all sorts of crazy fun.
And then what was your first game that you actually played in? And what class did you play? I'm guessing, well, I have a guess, but go ahead.
So the first thing I did was I was an NPC in Iron Eagle Inn 2, which took place in John Edwards' house back when he used to live over by Table Mesa. But then the first game I ever played in was Tunnels of the Toads, which was a game I think that Peter Sartucci wrote. And I played a knight. In fact, I played Firstborn, so.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So what's your favorite class? Like now that you've been playing, I think most people who know you sort of know what this is, but if you had to pick one class and that's the only class you could play for the rest of your time, what would that be?
Yeah, it would be knight. It's hard to get away from. I've tried to do the analysis in so many different ways, and just knight keeps coming up. You know, it's either the best melee fighter or the second best. It's definitely the second best bow user. It's the best healer. I mean, it's hard to get away from that. And I think because I played knight, and I've always liked this idea of like laws and codes and having to, you know, obey your codes
Yeah, you've
even when
always been a pretty rules-oriented person
yeah,
ever since I've
exactly.
known you. Yeah.
And the idea of this sort of this struggle between what you have to do and what you want to do, you know, that has always appealed to me. So even if it were just the codes part of knight, I would be a knight kind of guy. So
So we could talk a little bit about this in a minute, but so IFGS was your first LARP. What other LARPs have you played?
sure. So I've played one other LARP and one live action combat system.
Oh, you're making that distinction.
I sure am. So sometime in college, you and I went to AmpGuard for the first time. And AmpGuard was pretty cool. I think the first thing we ever went to was a tournament. A crown tourney, actually, I think. That was just amazing. That was something I had never even considered before.
Yeah, it was another IFGessers. It was the day after his bachelor party, right? It was Brett, the
Yeah,
day after
Brett
Brett's.
X. Yep. Yeah, that was super fun, but I think I was certainly scared by the just sort of the aggression and the people that were out there and all that newness. So right after that, before we really went back to AmpGuard much, I worked on and created this LARP that we called GEAS, which was the Genre Expandable Adventure Quest System.
Yes, I remember that name fondly.
Yes, but originally that was actually called IFGuard, because it was meant to be this sort of fusion of AmpGuard fighting with IFGS sort of role playing and questing and And we mostly did that for a while, and then finally went back to AmpGuard. We got much more involved in AmpGuard. We still did GS for a while. GS lasted a good, what, 5, 7 years, something in
Yeah,
there.
I was gonna say about six, 7 years before it started petering out, where, where we didn't play very much. Yeah.
But and sort of as it petered out, we were getting pretty heavily into AmpGuard, and I was working the tourney scene pretty hard.
Yeah, you did AmpGuard for we did AmpGuard pretty heavily then for about what, 9 years after that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then AmpGuard kind of soured a little bit, and I guess I came back to where it started, so.
That's great. And yeah. So podcast, we sort of talked about why I wanted to do it. I just want sort of the conversational sort of to carry that over. Why were you interested? I mean, I sort of sprung this on you one night. We were going to record a video for AmpGuard for a friend of ours that asked us. And I said, by the way, I think we should do this.
A cast and a podcast, yay!
Yeah. So why did you agree to it? Why were you interested?
Well, I mean, for I think, to be honest, my number one reason was because you wanted to do it, and I wanted to make that happen. But two, I mean, it seems like a great way to try and keep interest up during the sort of the winter months, when there's not a lot going on, and it's hard to get fighter practices together and all that kind of stuff. And we're doing the Battle College workshops, and we're doing the fight casts, and all that is meant to sort of keep interest rolling. Because I think one of the big problems that IFGS suffers from is this off season is just a killer.
Yeah, it's been rough pretty much ever since I started. I pretty heavily, 7 years ago, six years ago. It just
2007.
2007 was that when we started
That was,
writing?
yeah, that was our first game we wrote.
Yeah, and so yeah, just it's so funny because you just go during the summer, and then we're used to AmpGuard, where AmpGuard in the winter people kept fighting for the most part. I mean, even if there was snow on the ground, you'd go out on the weekends and fight. And IFGS, that just didn't happen when we joined. I guess prior to that, there have been times where they've had room games and bar games throughout the winter, but it's just really hard to keep anything really going through the winter, like you said. So.
Yeah. All right, so your turn. So how and when did you get started? It was Quest, right?
Yeah, it's called The Quest. It was a LARP in Hawaii. I sort of got brought in. I was 14, so let's see, what is that? 24 years ago, something like that. I started. Yeah, I've got some pictures I'll post up on Facebook someday of me
Oh,
when I was
nice.
14. Yeah, my first chainmail shirt in the woods. But it was very different. It was much more physical. I mean, it started out not when I started, but it started out with shaved down 2x4s, and then when I sort of got into it, they were using wooden bokken, and you sort of wore armor, and then everyone moved to bamboo shinais. And the main reason that these weapons sort of changed throughout the years was not because they hurt less, is because they were faster and you could be better if the weapons moved a little bit faster. So they moved to that, and then buffer combat, and so I did that from when I was 14, pretty much all throughout high school, and a little bit going back in the summers from college.
Did they ever get to like padded weapons, or was still Shanize when you left?
Everyone made all sorts of weird weapons, and definitely padded boffer weapons came in, but the main swords were shanais. We made big hammers like Thor that we could throw that were made out of foam, and big mauls and things like that. And we had a lot of fun with those, but for the most part, it was all shanais. But it was really physical. I mean, you went up and camped out for a weekend, and you did this pretty much Friday to Sunday, and it was all night long. And we sort of wrote scenarios, or you built a fort in the woods, and it's probably like 40 people, and you just sort of run around crazy in the woods. And the older people drank, and the younger people just ran around, and had fun, and it was good times. It was definitely a different feeling from the organization of sort of LARPs, because I was in Hawaii, so LARPs on the mainland, it's much more organized over here, I guess. There wasn't
Sure.
really anything like that in Hawaii. But then, yeah, I came to college and met some friends. First, I think I met Michael Kelly. He got me into a D&D game, and then that led me to a game with you, and then we tried out IFGS. I think we were talking about LARPing one day, and you mentioned IFGS. And we did a couple IFGS sort of scenarios. You showed me the rule books, and I think you had some weapons, and I remember
Oh
we did
right,
that.
yeah, we did a couple actual IFGS scenarios up there in Greeley, didn't we?
Yeah, around the campus. And then
Yeah.
Brett at a birthday party, that's when he invited us to AmpGuard. And so we both went to AmpGuard together, like you said, and AmpGuard, it was sort of interesting because you had come from, IFGS, which is very much a touch-based game, and I'd come from a much more physical game. And we came into Amp Guard, which was sort of right smack in between, where your fighting style sort of came from this idea of touching and using the tip of your sword, and mine came from sort of brute force and forcing through, and we sort of came together into a middle point, I would say.
Yeah. Actually, a pretty funny story about the first time Brett talked to me about Amp Guard. He described to me how they play, and when you're dead, you go back to Nirvana and you wait for 5 minutes, and this idea that you had multiple lives totally turned me off.
Yeah, it was a weird, like, I don't, I, they were trying to, Amp Guard definitely tries to, at least when we had started, it seemed like they were trying to force the role playing into this combat system. And it just never quite ever really melded. It didn't work for me either. And
No.
we did scenarios like that in the quest. We did more stuff like that and less character based role playing.
Sure.
But yeah, Amp Guard was a little, it was a little strange on how they did with the lives.
Yeah, and that's why I call it a live action combat system rather than a live action role playing system, because there's just no way to role play that fits with it. It's like fourth edition Dungeons and Dragons, right? You can role play, but it's not really in the system.
Absolutely, and then yeah,
Dig, dig.
we did Amp Guard for multiple years, all sort of all throughout college while we were doing also this GS, and we sort of did them side by side. But GS was really good, and then it seemed like GS the problem was is it was the two of us and a few other people that were sort of pushing the energy of that chapter forward, and it just we got busy with real life, and it was just easier to go to Amp
Or
Guard where other
Amp Guard.
people. Yeah, Amp Guard. Other people sort of supported it with us, So we did.
No, I'm saying we got busy with Amp Guard. That was part of the issue, is I think that part of that energy was going to Amp Guard, and I think the few of us who were supporting GS just couldn't keep that energy up in both places.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and in Amp Guard, it was sort of interesting because Amp Guard has these award systems, and you'd sort of gone down one path. You went down the path of being a fighter. And while I did that quite a bit because that's mostly what you do in Amp Card, that wasn't really my focus. My focus was actually leadership. I went down the path of being officer of the chapter and basically their version of president, and I sort of did that for a long time, and it was interesting because we sort of both split, and we both crossed over. I mean, you did some leadership as well, but I think our focus was a little different when we got to Amp Card.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so what? So having done that, having done both those systems, and then doing IFGS, right? Would you call Quest a live action combat system or live action role playing system?
Live action combat system. Yeah,
Okay.
it was much closer to Amp Guard.
So what? I mean, what do you like about things like GS and IFGS? What? I mean, is that actually something you enjoy, or are you just doing it because you're the people you know do it?
Probably being blatantly honest, I sort of like the combat systems better.
Sure.
I like the amount of combat, the fighting that happens. And what I really enjoy is I enjoy strategy. That's the big part of all of this that I like. I like, putting together the perfect team, the right magic item lists. I like, thinking about the battlefield and how do you get through this encounter, and I like the strategy portion and the tactics. The role playing is fun. I get into that. I've always sort of enjoyed that. I've done, D&D and other role playing games for many years, but I think that I really enjoy the strategy and tactics, and so I bring a lot of that to IFGS when I play IFGS, I think.
Do you feel like that sort of meta thinking gets in the way of the role playing?
No, I sort of design my characters around it.
Oh, fair enough.
Owen, my knight, is a leader, and because of that, I feel like I can sort of take some leadership on the battlefield. My thief is sort of he sort of is turning into a lore master type character. He enjoys lore mastering, so I think that fits with him. I do have an upcoming character that I want to start this next year, and he is very much not a tactician, so it'll be interesting seeing how he goes. So I'll have to give up a lot of that control, I think.
Is this your monk?
Yeah, he is my monk.
I'm not going to say anything more about it, but I kind of hope he is a tactician, because frankly, the people he hangs with needs it.
I'm not sure he could convince the people he hangs with to do whatever he wants to do. So,
Okay.
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We'll see if I get a chance to play him this next year or not. But
Right.
yeah.
Okay, and what's your favorite class in IFGS?
So I have to say knight is a good class. It's not my favorite. I think thief is my favorite. And
Interesting.
knight's just easy, right? You
It
play a
is.
knight, especially in 7.0, you've got the healing, you've got the armor, you've got melee damage. The only thing you really don't have is savvies and maybe I don't know, lock picking. But other than that, it feels like you really have a lot of tools.
Have you never heard of a knight's lockpick?
I have. And you break potions if you break open the chest.
Yeah, what did you need the potions for?
But Thief, I feel like, especially in combat, requires a lot of mental effort to be very good. You need good battlefield awareness. You need to be able to get around and get those backstabs in. You need to work with other people. Because you can't use a shield, I feel like you have to be a little bit more careful with your aggression. So I find Thief just a really fun class. It sort of keeps me on my toes.
Nice. I like it. All right. Is there anything more you want to add about IFGS or LARPing or fighting in IFGS?
No, I like where it's going. I like where they're fighting in IFGS. I think we're sort of this revolution is happening again, where people are getting interested in fighting again, and I'm glad to see that happening. And hopefully that can carry into next summer, where maybe we can get some regular fighter practices going, or at least fighter practices before games with teams.
Sure. Actually, something you said interests me. You said getting going again. Hopefully, we can have a guest on here soon that'll give us some historical perspective. Maybe this isn't an again. Maybe it's never been there.
Interesting. You don't think
I
it's
don't actually know the answer.
okay.
Here's my favorite segment. This is a segment we're going to be asking each of the guests of the week.
Oh, right.
Whenever the guests show up, here are five questions that we're going to ask them. And so I'm going to ask them to you, and you can go through and play test them for me.
Okay.
Okay, for question number one, what is the best class in IFGS?
What is the best class, or what
What's
is
the best
my
class?
favorite class?
What is the best class?
Knight. Yeah.
That's correct. All right, what was your favorite game in IFGS?
Oh, favorite game. Okay, so I think it's tied. I
Okay.
think as a PC, it's Lord Walla Walla. It was my first 2-day game.
All right, fantastic.
I played Owen, and it was awesome. It was fun. It was a great experience.
Sure.
Probably NPCing, I would have to say, was probably Price of Life and the knight fight that we had that night. That was
Really? Okay.
it was pretty incredible. That was a pretty epic battle.
It really was. Okay, so if your favorite character had to die, how would you want him or her to go out?
Trapped
So
in another.
who's your favorite character? Let's start with that.
Probably Owen, my knight. I played him at
Okay.
Geas. I moved him over here. He was a cleric in Geas. I moved him. I became a knight here. And it's probably trapped in another plane. Just destroyed it. It's collapsing behind me. I'm running up a hill to a portal that's closing. And I know that the world is saved and that life, will go on even if I don't make it out of that portal.
All right. Weird, huh? That's interesting.
It's interesting how your dreams can sort of come true, so.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, question number four. What is the one thing you wish you could change about IFGS?
I think everyone sort of is grass is always greener. So, other than the obvious ones like more fighting and things like that, I'm gonna go with. So Amp Card had this system of awards that sort of where people sort of were a little competitive about certain things to try and get these awards, and it brought some competitiveness into Amp Card. And that was a bad thing, but on the other hand, it was also a good thing. It pushed you to be better at things. And I don't know how that would work in IFGS, but I wish that there was a little bit more competition in IFGS, friendly, good-natured competition, where it was pushing us to be better.
Sure.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that's my answer.
So there was a reason to be a better fighter other than just it might save me a few points in a given game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Cool. All right, here's the one I know you've been dreading. Question number five. If you could get one celebrity to play on your team, who would it be and why?
My hidden shame that I don't like to admit is that I have hidden shame about LARPing. I don't tell anyone about LARPing. I keep it quiet. I don't tell people at work. I'm a little embarrassed of LARPing. I admit that. And so I would be very nervous asking any celebrity to play on my team. But if it could be one person and why, right now it would probably be Taylor Kirsch. I think that's how you spell his last name. Say his last name.
Oh, sure.
The football player from Friday Night Lights. I've been watching Friday Night Lights, and I think he's an awesome guy. I'm really impressed with his acting. If he wouldn't be ashamed of IFGS, if he could totally get into it, I would love to see what he could bring to a game.
The dude acted in John Carter. I don't think you have to worry about that.
I haven't seen John Carter yet. Is
Yeah.
worth watching?
Well, let's just say that you would no longer be embarrassed to invite him to do anything.
Okay. Well, it's not my wish list to watch, so yeah. But yeah, I think that's who it would be today.
Yes. All right. Taylor Kirsch. Nice. Good answer.
So my turn. Okay, so the five questions. What is the best
Knight.
class? Knight. What's the second class?
Second best class is probably fighter.
Ooh, really? Not cleric?
It might be cleric. At that point, you've got a weird question, right? Like knight, it doesn't matter what parameters you're talking about, it's the best class. But once you're into the second one, it's like, what do I think I would be most effective at with? Probably fighter. What do you want on every team? Cleric? It's kind of tough, but the problem is cleric at high levels, they kind of, they don't have the same ramp up as fighters do.
Okay. So if you had a team of all knights, we know that that's, six knights, great. That's what you'd choose. Now, if you had a team of all six other one of one class, what would it be?
So at low levels, it would definitely be fighter. At high levels, I could imagine going magic user,
Interesting. Okay.
but that might just be to watch the world burn. I still think it's fighter. I think the answer is fighter all the way.
Okay, I think that's fair. Okay, so next question. What was your favorite game?
I can't remember.
You can't remember?
No, I really can't. I feel like there's one that I really enjoyed that I'm having problems remembering. I can certainly, the clearest in my mind at the moment, I probably finished Mountains of Flame feeling the best, but that's because I just loved the final fight against the Ox King,
Hmm.
against the Demon Ox King.
Yeah, it's because you weren't animal-minded the entire freaking time.
That's right. That's
Yeah,
right. I wasn't.
that was fun, yeah.
And it was also that combat that cemented in my mind the enormous power of throw items.
Yeah, we'll talk about that again for the
but
podcast.
yes, exactly. Yeah, I guess that's it. I feel like there's one I enjoyed more, but that's the one I'm coming up with one right now. On the other side, Price of Glory was pretty cool. Actually, Tomb of Tempest, I really enjoyed. I left that game just feeling like it had been easy and beautiful and wonderful to take part in, and I really enjoyed Tomb of Tempest
Okay.
from the other side, so.
Great. So if your favorite character had to die, how would you want him to go out? And who's your favorite character?
I think it's got to be Firstborn.
Okay.
Strangely, I have some other characters that I possibly like more that aren't characters yet. Tempest, who Tomb of Tempest is about, is probably my favorite character, and he now obviously exists in this universe now that we've had a couple games that mention him. And I probably like him more. Galen, same thing. I really love Galen. All three of these characters are knights, by the way. Galen, I also love. He's got just such pathos to him, but I've only gotten to play him for about 5 minutes so far,
Yeah.
so I think I'm going to stick with Firstborn,
Okay.
and I would want him to go out killing off all the humans so that the Praulians could take over the plane. I mean, it would be something like that. It would be, I would,
Committing genocide. Okay.
yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing he would enjoy for Christmas.
Okay. So, what is the one thing you wish you could change about IFGS?
So I mean I agreed with you that like level of fighting and like commitment to excellence and that kind of thing. I think all of those are things I would love to see change. But the very first and easiest thing, and by easy I'm stretching that word beyond its limits, I'd like to see the combat system change. I'd love to see an easier system. I'd love to see a system that doesn't require five levels of subtraction.
Yeah, the math in the current 7.0 combat is a little frustrating at times.
So Yeah, I think what I would like to see change is I'd like to move to something closer to the ablative armor point system that I'm sure people have heard me blathering on about.
Wonderful. Okay, and then last question, and it seems like I think you had a good idea for what you were going to say here, which is why you wanted to put this question in here, is if you could get one celebrity to play on your team, who would it be and why?
So this almost happened. I mean, he wasn't actually going to be on my team, but he was going to play in one of our games. I would like to see Jim Butcher play on my team.
The author?
The author,
Okay.
exactly. Dresden Files and the Codex Alera. He is an IFGSer. He has played. He wants to get his son to play some more. I think that would be pretty awesome. And at the time, in the Price series, there are some definite similarities between the Vord in his Codex Alera system or books and the Symbiosis. And I think he would have gotten a real kick out of seeing similarities. And certainly the Avendarians moved much closer to towards the Alaran legions at the end of the Price series than they had been at the beginning. I think he'd be fun to play with. I think it'd be
So you said he was an IFGSer. How long ago did he play? I mean, it was clearly before my time.
Yeah, I think you'd have to ask Brandon. I think it's probably been 10 years or something,
Okay.
but I don't actually know the answer. And I'm not sure where he played either.
Okay. Great. Well, I think that finishes up the questions. And this is where we're going to talk about in review, just sort of what we've been up to, and just sort of talk about what's been going on in our lives and with IFGS and other stuff. And we've got a lot to talk about since it's our first one, and we've got a lot going on sort of on our plate right now. So first, fight casts, what are they?
Right, so the fight casts are a series of videos that we've been doing to try and give some tips and hints about how to, up people's fighting, They're pretty cool. I think the last batch we made are probably not as good as the first batch, but I think we actually learned a lot more from the second batch than we did from the first batch.
I agree. The first batch, it seems like we almost lucked out with how,
Exactly.
like, we sort of lucked into them.
And the second ones, I think we had some problems, which I think people will see as they get posted every Friday. Look for them every Friday on Facebook. But yeah, I've really enjoyed doing them, and I look forward to doing more. I think that's the fight cast.
Yeah, I, if you don't know this about me, I'm sort of a Disney World nut. I go to Disney World like every other month, it seems like. And I was watching on Twitter, and this guy I follow that's posts about Disney World. He was doing these 60-second Disney World tips, like, how to avoid lines or, get a cheap hotel room. And that's sort of where the idea came from for me, is that I wanted to give, what can we give just sort of in a bite-sized piece, every week, just to give people something to think about, something to sort of chew on. So that's what sort of how they came about.
No.
And some people have told us the sound is not very good. We're working on that.
Yeah.
Probably the second batch, probably the sound will not be fixed, but hopefully in the future we're trying some different microphones and trying different things. It could also be at the room that we're filming in, so we're going to look at some other options and whatnot.
Sure.
Great.
The fighting workshops, the Battle College workshops. We ran one couple Fridays ago. And that was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. I think a majority of the people got a lot out of it. I think the main comment we got was that we needed to focus more on a particular level of fighter. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. That it was a little the skill level in the workshop was a little wide. And real quick, what's the difference between a class and like a workshop? How is this
Sure.
different?
Yeah, and I think the next quote unquote workshop will be a class. But the way I see it in my mind is a workshop means we basically have people fight, and then we analyze what they're doing. We analyze what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and we invite comments from everyone in the workshop. And we're basically just trying to get people to think about how it works and be able to analyze a fight and get it better fight by fight. As opposed to a class, where it's more of, I'm going to show you how to do something. Okay, let's all go do it. Now I'm going to show you something else. Let's go do it. I mean, there is certainly some teaching in a workshop, but I think for the most part, the difference is the workshop The idea is to fight and then talk about it. In a class, the idea is to talk and then fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as I was saying, so the next workshop is end of January, I think,
January 28th, yeah.
and that one is already full.
Yeah,
In fact,
you might
it's
ask.
over full.
Yeah, you might wonder, like, we don't have too many slots. We usually only post like two or three slots. And the reason for that is we need to keep it pretty small so that we can really focus and get some good content out of it. What we've noticed is the larger these get, the less sort of everyone that gets out of it. So we'd rather do more of these, but do them smaller. So that's why we only invite just a few people per time. But we're trying to go around, and if we're trying to make sure that anyone that's interested will get them in one of these workshops.
Yeah, and my plan is that the one after this next one is going to be a novice class rather than a fighting workshop. So hopefully that'll be just in time to get people ramped up for the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So next, we have on here sanctioning. So I'm a member of the sanctioning committee, Denver Boulder Sanctioning Committee, and you are a writer, and you have to deal with sanctioners on the other end. What's sort of been going on with you in that aspect?
I'm not sure how much of that I'm actually going to go into, but certainly we have a number of game. You and I have a number of games in sanctioning.
I think this is our first season where most of our games are done.
I know it's really
Our
true.
big games for next season, I think, are all written, and hopefully we are hands off. We'll just get them sanctioned, and that's what we'll do next year, which was sort of our goal this year.
Yeah, I think we've got one big one we still need to chomp through, the Vineyards, the second Vineyards bar game is sort of looming, but aside from that, I don't think we have any other writing on our plate. I have some additional things I want to try out this year, but we can talk about those in a future podcast.
Yeah, sanctioning's been going pretty good. I have the unfortunate, so I'm the chair of the sanctioning committee, but I feel like I'm either writing, so I can't sanction, or I want to play in something, so I can't sanction. So my sanctioning load is actually pretty light. I'm not doing that much. So I'm just trying to facilitate it and make sure that games get through sanctioning so that we can go on to the next thing.
Yeah, you really should have sanctioned the Nexus. It seems like that would have been a.
I know I should have, yeah. Yeah, that was a total mistake on my part. Jeff volunteered, and I was like, okay. And I mean, outside of IFGS right now, I'm sort of deep in training for a big running race. I'm a runner.
Sure.
So that's taking up way more time than it does in the summer. So that's my big focus right now outside of IFGS.
Right. Yeah, and Jeff's done a great job on the Nexus. I mean, he and Brad have had to plow through 200 something items, so
Yeah, that
it's
was
a
when you told me how many items you were submitting, I'm like, that's a lot.
yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, as we said, we got Vineyards B coming up. So if you haven't figured this out or heard this, all of our new bar games are going to be Vineyards, and then the first one starts with A. We just did that one, B, and
Arrival, yep.
so B. We're going a different direction. I think it's going to be a little bit more interactive with the PCs. I think it's going to be a fun game for PCs. I think they're going to enjoy it.
Definitely.
And then AAP.
Sure.
So this is an alternative rule set that you've been working on for what, 3 years now?
Yeah, something like, maybe 3, 4 years, something like that.
Okay. So how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I mean, I feel like so the Nexus was written in AAP, the Vineyards games are all written in AAP. I feel like AAP is getting out there. I feel this summer we're going to get some good AAP practice. I definitely feel like it still needs work. It's still getting there. Michael Magnus has expressed some interest in running an AAP game and having a look at it. And I think it just needs some other eyes and some editing and stuff like that. And I think it's pretty darn good. I think I haven't had to work on it in a while, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, I think high levels is really where I feel like some playtesting needs to happen. Is these alternate classes that you have at high levels, these specializations. We haven't
Yeah.
done a whole lot of playtesting there, and we just need some other eyes to sort of look at them and see how it goes. So hopefully we'll do some higher level stuff this summer.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. So also something else that wasn't on our list, but I wanted to ask you about is you have a side business that's IFGS related. That's
I do.
pretty fascinating, and we talk about it every once in a while. So you build LARP weapons. So where did that sort of come from?
That came from enjoying doing it, I guess.
Which is weird because in Amp Card, I never felt like we all built our own weapons in Amp Card, but
Sure.
I never felt like you had the same passion that you do now.
It's because IFGS weapons are vastly more complex. I never got the feeling in AmpGuard like I was going to be adding anything to the technology, or I was really able to make anything particularly pretty, or it felt like everything had to be very, very functional and very, very, I don't know. The very nature of AmpGuard weapons means they don't look like real weapons, so that's sort of my issue. I've really enjoyed working on IFGS weapons because it means I can try and figure out how to make things better, how to make things, what glues to use, what covers to use, what how to improve on designs, that kind of thing. And joined a Facebook group called Plasti-Dip Artists. And they've given me a lot of really good ideas and techniques. I'm working right now on a cup on a my sort of my last order of the year. Somebody's giving some swords away for Christmas, and I'm trying to finish them up in the next week here, so.
It's funny because, in AmpGuard, I felt like we were pretty equal on our weapons. They were about the same. You couldn't do a whole lot with them. And then we got into IFGS and you started building these. And then I try and build a weapon, and yours is like this nice finished, perfect, like Japanese katana workmanship, piece of art. And then mine is like a piece of iron, like barely pounded into shape. It's mislumping. And yeah, I'm so impressed always with your weapons. I think you do
Well,
great
thanks.
work.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Plasti-Dip shields actually are the thing I'm really excited to work on, but they are much harder and take up a lot more time.
Yeah, I saw the punch shield that you brought to the fighting workshop. That was just gorgeous, but it just seems like, I mean, that's so much time to cover that completely.
All right, and now we are moving on to our sort of our final segment, which is viewer mail. So
Oh, you have a letter.
I do. Dear podcast, why don't you have any mail to answer this week? Signed, Confused. Confused, the reason we don't have any mail this week is because this is our first podcast and no one has known to send us any mail yet. So anyone who wants to send us mail should post on Facebook or send us email, and we'll try to answer those questions and make it interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Any questions you have, whether it's about fighting or IFGS or LARPing, whether you're part of IFGS or, someone refers you to this and you're not and you want to know more about it, feel free to ask us. We're more than happy to talk about shit that we don't know about.
Yep.
So.
Which actually brings up an interesting point. For future podcasts, for those who are listening, you should be warned. We certainly do not have any sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Indictment of language on this podcast.
Oh,
So
yeah.
if you are listening to this with your 6-year-old child in order to put them to sleep at night out of pure unadulterated boredom,
Know that
be
they're going to hear the word fuck because I'm going to say it. We talked
Apparently
about
he's
this.
going to say it whether it's necessary or not.
We talked about this, and I just don't want to watch my language. I don't want to hold back. I've heard other podcasts where I feel like they do that, and it just feels so fake. And I want it to be how I normally talk. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Thanks a lot, Mike. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. And so yeah. So everyone, this one, like we said, I think we're recording this on the 18th. We don't want to know when the next one is. Next week, if we do it a week from now, is Christmas, so I doubt that will happen. So probably a week or two before we'll get the one after this out, hopefully. And
Yeah, I think we're looking at maybe 2 a month.
yeah,
We'll
it's a
try to find something sort of regular to do them in, but who knows?
Yeah. And if anyone has any topics like we said that you guys want to hear or anyone that you want to hear on the podcast, let us know and we'll try and do our best.
Great.
So great. Well, signing off for tonight. Everyone, sleep well. Have a great Christmas, and hopefully we'll talk to you all soon, either on Facebook or over email or at one of our fighting workshops.
And I hope you all get exactly what you want for Christmas.
Yes, coal. Lots of coal.
Hot, warm, burning coal.
Okay.
That's a red beanbag, right?
Red? Flaming oil is red. No, that's
Right.
black with red streamers.
Black with a red tail.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know what red is. Oh.
Acid. It's acid.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I hope you all get acid in your stockings.
Okay. Okay. Night all.
Good night.
Bye.